This is TwinFluence Talks. We're identical twins, business partners, best friends, and moms. This podcast will bring you deeper into our motherhood journeys, give you a behind-the-scenes look on what it's like running our business together, and provide spiritual practices and life lessons that we strongly believe in. Get ready to get raw and real. I'm Liana.
And I'm Jackie. And this is TwinFluence Talks. Welcome back to TwinFluence Talks. Today's podcast is going to be a very fun little catch-up between Liana and I. There's two things I want to cover today. I want to talk about your retreat, which you haven't even filled me in on.
The best, the most amazing,
all the details.
The most relaxing, the most game-changing, heartwarming experience.
I'm so excited to hear about it. And then I want to tell you the full story of what happened to me when I was at the hospital a couple weeks ago, like the rundown of just sort of what happened, why I was sick. And Liana and I haven't really had like a whole conversation about these two events. So we thought it'd be fun to talk about it on the podcast and just kind of fill each other in today. So why don't we start with my hospital stay since it happened first, and then we'll lead into your retreat since it happened second. Does that work?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So first things first, I just want to tell you guys about what happened to me a couple weeks ago. Liana, actually, she left for her retreat. You left, I think it was that Friday. I was in the hospital like the majority of that week.
No, not when I was, you were not in the hospital when I was at the retreat. You were working every day because what are you talking about?
No, but I came home from the hospital and then you left for your
retreat.
Yeah.
Correct.
So I just wanted to like,
the timing of that, could you imagine if you would have been in the hospital when I was on the retreat?
It was so crazy because
that would have been really bad because of work.
When it comes to our business, Liana and I have like clear defined roles of what we take care of and what we do. And we really try not to bother each other about certain things. Like I deal with, you know, certain like things with the customers, you deal with certain things, bringing in the products in, and we try to respect the boundaries when it comes to that stuff. So it's very rare, or I'll be like, it's a really bad situation if I'm coming to you to ask you to cover my stuff. Goes to show how sick I really am, because normally I will not.
Right,
ask
but what
you.
I'm saying is that when I was on the retreat, sorry, you took care of a lot of different things for me, and I feel like if you would have been sick, like I don't even know if I would have been able to go on the retreat. So I'm glad that the time, I'm upset you were sick, but I'm glad it wasn't the week I was away.
Yeah, no, the timing was couldn't have been better, honestly. So I just wanted to tell you guys like what happened, fill you guys in, Liana.
Oh, and I just want to say,
yeah,
Jackie and I are on a video chat right now. You look really pretty.
Thanks, so do you. We're both wearing our pajamas and have like, well, actually, we're both wearing robes and have like greased back buns right now.
It's like, I feel, yeah, but we're both like full skincare. I feel like we actually thrive when like we have like our hair back and like no makeup on and just like a nice skincare like regimen, like glow.
Wasn't that when I feel the best like that when my skin is all clean and I have a good routine? Like I feel all glowy, you know?
Well, you look pretty.
Thank you. So do you. Okay. So let me just get to the story because I really want to tell people what happened. I definitely look, you know what they say, I guess it's better how you look than how you feel, because I feel like shit.
Right now you feel like shit still?
Yeah. Like I'm just, ever since like the hospital stay, I feel like now I'm having like sciatica nerve pain and I'm just worried about like the baby being breached now.
So what happened? So it was like a flu
So what happened to me? So I don't know if you guys saw, but I had a fever a couple weeks ago, which is like really dangerous in pregnancy. And I will say it's one thing, Liana, to be sick. Normally, it's another thing to be like sick and be pregnant. Like, can you imagine being nauseous and having all those things in a like pregnancy? And
yes,
it's like not in, like first trimester.
I was pregnant before.
No, but it's like a whole other level when you're sick and you have a fever. And basically what happened to me was, it was like I had two things in one. It was a mix between like a cough cold situation with a fever, but then it turned into a stomach flu, like a full-blown stomach flu. And I have, honestly, I was telling everybody this, people don't, like, literally, like, when I told Jordan, he was like, really? Like, is that really how bad it was? Like, I'm telling you, this was the second most painful experience I've ever had after childbirth.
Honestly, so no, I believe you, because so you're going to go into it a bit, but like a few days later, like when I went on the retreat, I was sick for like 2 days prior to the retreat and a little bit sick for like the first day, but like it ended up being fine and I got better. I was so sick. I don't know if I got it from you because I didn't see you, right. But it was like a similar like flu and
fever.
Ugh, it was like, I understand what you're saying.
Imagine
you're saying
dealing with that.
But you're saying it was like, painful. You had pain, right? I didn't have
pain.
Because
I had really bad
I was
aches.
Just extremely nauseous and I was vomiting profusely for like 48 hours prior to the retreat.
Well,
and then
I had
finally
all of
that day
I
felt
mixed,
better. Like, but I was really sick before I went.
Like I had all of that mixed
like
with
a 48-hour flu or something.
Yeah, mine was like a week. It was like 7 to 10 days. And I had the most insane arm and leg cramps I've ever experienced. So long story short, you guys, is that I was like sick for like a week. I had a fever. The fever went away. I thought I was doing better. Then I realized halfway through the day, a couple, like I think it was last Tuesday or Wednesday, that I wasn't doing any better. And I called Jordan and I was like, I think we need to go to the hospital like this. And Jordan knew I wasn't myself. Like he could tell by the way I was like just moving through the house and I wasn't like able to really get things done. He could tell I was off. So we decided to go into the city to go to the Jewish. And when we got to the hospital originally, the Jewish General Hospital. When we got to the hospital originally, I felt like we got so lucky because we waltzed in, like no one was there. We went into triage. It was very, very quiet. You know, there Jordan was saying how like there's like this like myth that he's heard that like on Habs like nights where the Habs are playing, the hospitals are very quiet. And if that like for us that seemed to be the case because there was a Habs game that night and that we literally I literally waited 10 minutes to triage and then they admitted me. It was crazy.
That's hilarious. Jordan has a myth that when the Habs play, the hospitals in Montreal
he heard
quiet.
This. We don't know if it's true or not.
That's
like,
funny.
He was asking people like at the hospital. He was like, it's so quiet. Is it because there is a Habs game? But anyway, so he brought me into the hospital. And to be honest, I wasn't feeling great, but like I was functioning and like okay enough to have conversations with people about if there was a Habs game that night. Like I was okay. And so they checked me and they started giving me all kinds of different tests and stuff like that. And they couldn't really figure out what was going on. I thought that I was feeling a little bit better. I was there for a few hours. They gave me like an x-ray, an ultrasound, made sure the baby was okay. I was telling them about the aches and pains. But at that point, I feel like I was starting to feel like a little bit better. And I said to Jordan, you know what? I think we should leave. I also like, you know, at that point, like the way that they had put the what do you call it? The IV in my arm was like annoying me. And I was like, I just want to take this out and I want to go home and I want to see how I feel in a couple hours. And we ended up leaving. And lo and behold, a few hours later, I woke up with like, it was like insane. Like the body cramps I was experiencing were nothing like I've ever had before. Jordan like put me back in the car and we drove back to the hospital. I blacked out. Like, I don't even remember Liana, like checking in to the hospital. I just remember
because the fear maybe was making you like,
I just remember Jordan was like really, really worried about me because he couldn't even have like a coherent conversation with me. That's how bad it was. And I was like, I shouldn't have left. Cause we decided to leave the hospital earlier, go home. You know what I'm saying? So the fact that we had to come back, I felt like really stupid, but anyway, I don't remember much. All I remember is like Jordan frantically with me in a wheelchair, trying to get me through triage again, trying to tell them that we had left and that they need to reinstate me. And that I was having like just horrible cramps. I was like crying and in and out of consciousness. Okay. And finally they get us like to the hospital room and I ended up like, I would never share this on Instagram.
Wait, you left the hospital and went back?
Yes. I don't understand. Are you not listening? Yes.
No, I know, but I just,
I left the hospital.
So this was the second
time.
Yeah.
In,
okay.
Was,
cause it was just like, a lot.
I think I'm feeling better. Let's leave. So we left and then I went to sleep and I woke up like 2 hours later.
And you went back. Right. That I knew.
I was like, I'm not okay.
Sorry. The time.
I thought I was like in labor. Like, I don't understand.
So then what ended up? So in the end, did you get like a prescription or was it, did you need medication?
No. So in the end, they ended up keeping me for like a couple days. I slept there. And when I got there, when they finally admitted me to the room after like blacking out and like not remember what was happening. And like I said, I would have never.
You
literally blacked out. I was delirious. You can ask Jordan. It was so intense, Liana. Jordan had to put me in a wheelchair and I couldn't even have
a
conversation.
That's probably from the fever. I feel like that's
I couldn't even speak to them when they were trying to recheck me in. Anyway, it was so bad. And when I got to my hospital room, I like puked and pooped and pissed myself all at the same time. And it was quite the experience.
Wow, we really share everything on this podcast.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying it was like insane. I lost total control. I don't even know what was happening. It was honestly one of the most.
But it was a flu, right? Like, what was it?
Well, that's the thing. They gave me all these different tests. They weren't sure if I picked up something like in Florida or what it was.
It had to have been because everybody's sick. It had to have been something.
I think it
like
was
that.
Like, I mean, I don't have the flu shot, which I probably should have. Now looking back, I'm like, maybe I should have like gotten it because a lot of people were saying this wouldn't have been so bad if I would have had the flu shot. But either way, it was a horrible experience. Carter ended up getting sick a few days ago, pretty much what I had, cough, cold, fever.
Oh yeah, right, but he's better now, obviously.
Yeah, it didn't affect him like it affected me. This was honestly like one of the hard, like I've never been
I'm telling you, everybody's getting sick right now.
And it was, what was crazy about it was the night that I, you know, I talked about this on Instagram and I just wanted to like make sure to wrap the story with this. My friend Natalie Augustine, who passed away last year, she taught me a lot of different things. I'm sure there's a lot of you listening that know who she was. And I think her legacy really was the way she affected people and just the lessons that she taught like her, you know, her community and the people she knew. And something that she taught me was to always appreciate my health and to be thankful if I'm healthy and able, and that like, that's all that really matters. And it was just crazy because I was like 1 year of her death and I'm in the hospital scrolling on Instagram and I realized it was 1 year. And I was like, oh my God. So like, I couldn't stop thinking about her because I was saying to myself, I just want to feel healthy. I just want to feel okay. Like I was really scared, Liana. And it was just weird because that's what she always would tell me. And we even had like an experience there where, you know, they were checking the baby and then the heart rate of the baby dropped. And like, it was so just scary. Like the whole thing was just like such a bad experience.
Listen, you don't want to be in a hospital unless you're giving birth to your baby.
Oh, yeah, but I learned something.
You don't want to be at a hospital when you're pregnant.
And I learned something though that I will definitely ask for in labor. When they put an IV in your arm, don't have them put it like where your elbow is.
It needs to be here
on your arm.
Ugh, Jack.
And anyway, so when I go into labor,
why?
Because then you can bend your arm.
Okay. Okay.
I know it's gross, but it's the truth.
I have like this weird thing. I can't. I don't know, guys. Like, I'm the kind of person that I used to watch Grey's Anatomy, and even though
Liana,
it's
you had a baby,
a fake show, I know. But dude, I remember when I had. Yeah, but like, first of all, that was like, it feels like it's long. Like when you're out of it, it's like, it's not the same. Yeah, I had a baby, but like, I literally also. I remember when I gave birth, they were like, you know, some women, they like give you a mirror, mm-hmm. you can watch.
Yeah, no, I'm good. I don't want to see that.
Yeah, I was like, no, please, absolutely not. And I told you, like, when I watch Grey's Anatomy, even though it's a fake
honestly,
scripted
normally
show,
this stuff really
I still
scares
can't
me
even
too.
Look at, like, blood on, like, a fake show. Like,
normally
I just,
this yeah. really scares me. The only reason why I feel like I'm manning up is because I know I'm giving birth.
That's what I was just going to say.
So an IV is nothing.
Yes, but that's what it is. Like, that's a really, I feel like when I was so scared before like I ever had Capri, like what's birth, what's labor, like oh my God, I'm not gonna be able to push a baby out of me. But like once you're pregnant for 9 months, and I feel like you're getting closer, I can see like how you're talking about like labor and stuff like that, I feel like you just like mentally
prepare.
It's like I thought about this before about like death. I know this sounds really morbid, but like when like I've seen like I don't know, when you watch shows or somebody's gonna pass away and the person's like ready to pass, and it's like what do you mean, but I feel like when you're there, you're there. So it's like the same thing with pregnancy. Like some women who are like friends of mine who are just like, oh my God, how am I ever going to be able to give birth? I'm like, once you're pregnant for like 9 months, like it's, you're not who you are right now thinking
no,
about
the
it.
Amount
you know
of
what
blood
I mean?
Tests you have to have in this,
it's just
you
totally,
just get into this
yeah.
zone, you
yeah.
know, you're going to be pro.
I feel like that's also why right
potted.
Now I can't talk about that. And you can, cause like, you're like very pregnant.
But guys, seriously though, like tip for moms when it comes to the IV, don't have them do it. Like,
oh, Jackie.
No, but I'm serious. Do it on your
okay,
arm.
Okay, got it.
Well, because then you can bend your arm and stuff like that.
Okay, do it on your arm, not on your elbow. Thank you.
No, that's not in between where the elbow
oh,
is.
Jackie.
Anyway, so you can bend your arm. Anyway, I'm just saying it really, really, really helps. I will say though, you know, I was looking for silver linings in this experience, and the two silver linings for me are, number one, I know exactly what the birthing unit looks like at the Jewish. I'm very comfortable with it. I know exactly where to go when I get to the hospital. And then the second thing is I know all the nurses. So I'm sure I'll see some familiar faces. One of the nurses, when I checked out, was like, hopefully I'm here when you deliver. I was like, that'd be so nice. So
you're like, see you then.
It was a really weird, horrible experience, but I feel like it did prep me for labor because it reminded me of certain things like, oh yeah, I have to have an IV. Oh yeah, this is where I'm going to, like, you know what I mean? Oh yeah, right. I'm going to have to wear a hospital gown. Okay, you know? And so, and I actually killed two birds with one stone while I was there. I filled out the form for when I do give labor, what room I want and all that stuff.
Oh, perfect.
Stuff. So anyway, so that Amazing. Was the experience. I'm glad I'm feeling better now. I'm pretty sure it was some kind of virus, but the whole thing was just like a big learning lesson in being thankful for your health. And I really need to, you know, rest the rest of this pregnancy and just take it easy and not push myself because I don't know. I think my immune system was low and I just got myself so sick, and everybody's sick these days. And it's not very comfortable, good feeling to be sick when you're pregnant. It's quite dangerous. So I'm glad it's over. Mm-hmm. And yeah, shout out to the staff at the Jewish that literally took such good care of me. I feel like I was in really good hands.
Good.
That's my story. Is there anything else you want to ask before we talk about?
No. I'm sad that happened, and I'm glad you're better.
Yeah, me too. I'm so glad I'm better.
But it's interesting because I was sick. So before I left on the retreat,
home, and then you got sick.
This is how bad I wanted to be on that retreat. Literally, how bad. Okay, there. So I didn't share this on Instagram, but I was in my own cabin. I posted about that on Instagram. I showed a picture of it. It was so cute. There were no bathrooms. Did you know that? Did I tell you that?
No, you have to share like camp style.
But like, it's nicer than camp. Like, it's obviously not as ugly as camp. It's like a nice bathroom. like with like five different stalls, but they're not private stalls. Like it's not like it's closed off. Like they're like there's space on the top of the stall on the bottom. It's not like a closed door. Mm-hmm. And I was really sick, like for 2 days, like throwing up, whatever, running to the bathroom before I went on the retreat. And even the day that I left, I still was not feeling 100, but I wanted to be there so badly that I was like, I don't care. Like I'll go to the bath, like, cause like, I'm like, I don't know if other people are like this, but like, I'm very weird with public bathrooms. Like I've never met a public bathroom that I like. And the only one that I will like is one that's like very private. Like I'm very weird with public restrooms. Like I don't like public bathrooms.
I get it.
So, but that's how bad I wanted to go because Brandon was like, are you sure you want to go? I was like, yeah, I just want to get there. And it was like an hour and a half from to like,
yeah, it shows how much, cause normally we don't do that.
I just really want to, and like literally I was still like sick a little bit there. And like the bathroom situation was not the most comfortable for me. But when Jackie asked me throughout the week how my experience was there, I was like, I'm literally having the most amazing time. And then when I told you about the bathroom stuff, you were like, that's absolutely terrible. And I was like, see, isn't that interesting? Yeah. But like normally that would ruin an experience for me. Yeah. It was such a good experience that I was like, okay, so like obviously it was not a great situation with the restrooms, but.
So let's backtrack a little bit about the retreat. So first of all, why did you decide to go? And why did you decide that this was the right retreat for you? Like, why was it, what was it about this retreat that was different?
So I decided to go because I felt like after the miscarriage, remember after the miscarriage, we had like talked about, I wanted to like kind of go somewhere, but like everything was really busy with work and we were still dealing with so much and we just couldn't find the right time. Yeah. So I did a little bit of research then. I found out about Sugar Ridge and then a few other places. Sugar Ridge is the place that I went. It's an hour and a half from the house. I looked at places in like Alberta. I potentially thought about going to the US because I saw another influencer, the one that we love, Remy. You know Remy is?
Yeah,
obviously you know Remy is.
Remy Bader.
So do you remember she posted like that spa experience mm-hmm. that she went to like, in, I think hers was in Phoenix. I considered going there, just like something for myself for like a few days. But then I was like, okay, I don't want to go somewhere that's like, 5 days, massages and salt baths, whatever, like a spa experience. I want to go somewhere that's like yoga, meditation, but like where I'm feeling as relaxed as I would on like a spa retreat, but where it's like more grounding. So I looked up all the, I looked up all these and I didn't want to fly anywhere just because like still cost a few thousand bucks. Like it's not like a cheap thing. And I didn't want to have to spend money to fly. So I wanted it to be somewhere that was driving distance. So I only had to spend like for the actual retreat, not have to worry about spending money on flights or using points or whatever. So I went through like a list. I looked it up on Google of like all these different retreats and it was like Mount St. Anne and like Spa Scandinav, like all these like spa vibes. And the only one that was really like a yoga retreat vibe was this place. But what's funny is when I was at the retreat, I met like all these women. I love them all. They know who they are. I'm going to send them this podcast after. I'm madly in love with all the people I met, literally amazing people. I was talking to one of the women there. Most of the women, we were nine women, including me. Okay. So about seven of us had never done this before. Like we were all like brand new. Then there was one woman, Jackie. Do you remember the movie The Babysitter's Club?
Yeah, of course.
Do you remember the neighbor that's like kind of mean, but then they like restore the garden for her and in the end she's happy?
Mm-hmm.
Remember she's like not a nice lady, but at the end they like make her smile.
Yes.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
So there was one woman on the retreat, okay? She has done this like a million times. Like this is like what she does. Like every few weeks she goes on a retreat. And she told me, she gave me the name of all these other retreats in Ontario that are just like Sugar Ridge that do what Sugar Ridge does. But the only one that's popular that I could find was Sugar Ridge. There are way more. There's like this place called like Alma House or something where it's like, it's also in the forest and it's like super chill, but they're very hard to find. So Sugar Ridge was the only one that I could find. But yeah, this woman, Jackie, literally, she was giving Babysitter's Club. And like, she was like talking about her experiences and like her life. And I was just like, I was like the woman from the, it was the same person.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really cool. It sounds like you had a really good time.
Honestly, like, I feel like I shared a lot of it already on Instagram, but there's just, I don't even know what to say. And you know what? We talked about, like, I had friends who were like, oh, I'd love to go with you. Or like, we talked about this at the retreat. Would we have a friend come? Like, would I go with you on a retreat like this? Like, would I have brought you? We could have, because the way it works is,
I don't think it would have been as beneficial if you would have.
That's what I was going to say. So the thing about the retreat is you could just stay there like overnight, like a hotel, like where I went. You could stay there like overnight and pay for it like a hotel. But what I did was like a specific retreat. So like there are women or people, like we know people who've run retreats. Like, you know, people who've run retreats before.
right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They could literally call Sugar Retreat and say, I'd like to host a retreat at Sugar Ridge. So it's like, what I did was, I didn't realize it was this woman who was hosting, she does multiple retreats a year at Sugar Ridge. She also does them in Costa Rica and she does them like all over the place, but she was holding this retreat at Sugar Ridge. So it wasn't the owner who held the retreat. It was like somebody who was holding this retreat.
I don't okay, know. Okay,
got to mention that. So like we could hold it, like essentially like you and I could hold a retreat. Like, you know, anybody could hold a retreat.
I think it's so cool that you like actually went. I'm just so glad it worked out because I felt so bad because I was like pumping you like while I was at the hospital right before you left. I was like making you do all this work and like you couldn't even reach me.
Yeah, but I knew that I was going. Like, so I was at the hospital.
So happy that
we dealt with something with work and like there was an issue with like a couple of orders and whatever. So I had to deal with something that normally I would never do. It's like you deal with all that, the warehouse, the inventory management, all of the orders, but you were sick. So I had to deal with it. But I remember when I was dealing with that, I was like, listen, I'm going away next week, like whatever I can do, because things will come up when I'm gone that Jack will have to deal with. So whatever, it is what it is. I mean, I'm not as Jack, I notice a difference between the way that I run certain things and you run certain things. Like I find you're nicer. That's why you're front end and I'm back end, because you don't have to be nice when you're talking to suppliers. You don't have to be nice when you're dealing with shipping and freight and taxes,
when you're dealing with customers,
all that, and billing and invoicing. But when you're dealing with the customer, you obviously have to be nice. And obviously I'm a nice person, but you're like extra.
Yeah. Like I saw Liana had to deal with some, what do you call it? Customer service. And I was like, you got to like, I saw your emails. I'm like, Liana, you have to like throw into this, do that, say this. Like, you know, like it's funny.
I thought I was very nice, but listen, and that's why, you know, but I'm just trying to think, like, can I tell you about the meals on the retreat? Because you didn't hear about
the food. Yeah, of course. Oh my gosh. Okay. Should I tell you about the hospital?
Because I didn't really talk about
food?
The food. So kidding. I actually, no, well, Jell-O? No.
Well, I like the soup.
I actually wrote that down in my book. So I have this book, this journal that I'm showing Jack. I got this on the retreat. I wrote every single woman, you're going to laugh, a letter on the retreat. They don't know this. And I kept every letter that I wrote each one of them so that I would remember them. But then one of them that I was like, she really made an impact on me, I ripped it out and I gave her her letter because it was the longest letter.
Aww, that's
everybody
so
else
cute.
Was like a short letter. But so I know it was literally the best. But so let me tell you about the food. I wrote down every meal, okay? So the night that we got there, it was a mushroom risotto. This is all plant-based, okay?
No way.
Okay? Everything is plant-based and vegan.
No way.
You didn't know that?
No, I didn't realize it was like
you
vegan.
Saw I posted about that. I always get offended when Jackie asks me a question. I'm like, you didn't see that in my stories?
Yeah, Liana's like, did you? I'm like, what do you mean I posted it? You're like, you did? It's so funny because we always get like that with each other when you miss something.
Okay, but you didn't know it was all vegan?
No, I didn't realize.
What
I'm
did
sorry,
you think
Liana,
I was eating?
I was in the hospital. I just got home.
Wait. What did you think I was eating?
Healthy food.
Like salads and stuff?
Yeah.
Okay. As long as you just think about me, as long as you just like, I care, like I want you to
care.
Dude,
I literally just got home from the hospital. Okay.
So wait, so I know I'm just kidding. So risotto. So the next morning it was blueberry acai pancakes, okay, for breakfast. And they always had toast and like granola and yogurt, like always. But the yogurt was like coconut yogurt, like it was all dairy free because it was vegan. For lunch,
I wish I
that
could do
day,
something like this. Like I
wait for lunch. Let
like
me
this.
Tell you, you have to hear this. For lunch every day, was always a soup and salad. It was always like a butternut squash soup or like a Thai mushroom soup or a potato leek soup. We don't have to go through everything, but then we had like one morning we had like scrambled tofu with like potatoes. And like morning we did, it was veggie pot pie for lunch one day. So it was like, instead of like a beef pot pie, it was a veggie pot pie. It was my favorite meal. I ate two of them. The last day we had, the second to last day for lunch, it was an avocado toast bar. Like,
oh, no way.
And like the women there were so cute. Like I made an avocado toast and I put tomatoes on it. And they're like, oh, Liana, like that is so smart. I'm like, ladies, like this is my first.
Were you the youngest person there?
So no, but
like, these ladies sound older than you.
So there was one. Yes. Yeah, so everybody was like 50s and 60s. Okay. And then there was like one woman.
Wow.
Maybe two women in there. There was like, let's say six of them were 50s and 60s. Two of them were in their 40s. Okay. And then me and the other girl were in our 30s. She was younger than me, actually. But the person who was running it kept like saying, like, she's like the young one, the baby over here. Like, she kept calling me the baby. But I guess
kind of nice, though.
But I loved it. Maybe this resort just like, and they kept saying to me, the woman on the retreat, like, what I'd give at your age to be getting these lessons and these tools. And yeah, I was just like, we talked about that a lot. And I was like, I kind of like, when they realized what we did for a living, because I didn't tell you this. So people, whenever they ask, what do you tell people when they ask you what you do for a living? What do you say? It's very awkward. I find it very awkward because
I say that
it's
we
like
own
a regular
clothing
job.
Company that me and my twin sister own a clothing company and we're like bloggers.
I don't say influencers. I say I'm a blogger.
No, it depends. I know it's hard, right? It's like, I don't know how to say it. I get awkward because it's like, okay, but like we work in social media. So like to some people, I'm like, I work in social media, but then to other people, like we own like a clothing brand, like, but I'm an entrepreneur. Like, you know what I mean? Like all of the above.
Right.
So a lot of them were interested. Like we all got to know each other. And a lot of them were like interested in like understanding like what you and I do. And like, I tried to like explain, I was like in social media, but like, it all started with like a social media business. But, like now we like, so like I couldn't explain it. So I was just like, ladies, honestly, you all have cell phones. I know most of you have Instagram. This is my brand. Look it up. So then they all looked, a bunch of them, I don't know if you noticed all these followers that like maybe like 10 or whatever, all the women that followed us, like an influx of like 8 followers one day. They're all from the retreat. And so they like looked at the page and then they're like, okay, I understand. Like you talk about your relationship with your sister and the brand, they got it. But I just find it awkward sometimes like sharing what we do for a living, because I find like, not that it's like not an,
well, I usually say we own a clothing company and then also, I never know bloggers. Exactly.
And then it's like, but also we're like, we're entrepreneurs, but like also we're importers. Like, but also we're social media experts. What? Yeah,
no, that's no, it's just so true. You're like making me laugh.
Like our job, it's like when they say like, but also we're salespeople.
Yeah.
Because we have to sell. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know how to define my job.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that, and then it was really fun. And I also did this drawing, Jackie can see, where it's like, this was the yoga room. It was a circle. Mm-hmm. And I drew where every single person was sitting so that I would remember everybody.
Oh, cute. Oh my gosh, yeah. Leanna, I'm so proud of you. I think it's really good that you like carved the time to do this for yourself. Yeah, I'm really glad that you were able to go.
It was because the best. I'm telling you, there's nothing like it. Like if anybody wants to go, I recommend doing something like this. It taught me the biggest takeaway. So what I did was something called Back to Vitality. They have different ones. They have like yoga retreats, Back to Vitality. They have one where like, they told me they do ones where it's like people are naked. I was like, yeah, I'm not going to come to that one. But like literally people, they have one that's like foraging, how to like people, it's crazy. They do them all year. The one that I did was literally to like reset yourself. Like, are you feeling off balance? Are you feeling off key? Like, do you just want to like really get
No, you know what I thought was interesting too? Like, I said this to Jordan. You know,
and wait, yes, I want to hear what you have to say, but I want to just say this. Guys, I got back, 5 days ago, 4 days ago?
Mm-hmm.
I have been up every single morning before 7 a.m. since I got home.
It's like your new flex. Oh my God, mornings are the best.
I told you. To do our podcast.
Wait, yeah, I've been waking up early. Like,
I totally get it.
But listen, it's not one of those things where just one day I started waking up early. It was every day a little earlier, a little earlier.
No, but it's also, I didn't understand. I was like, why are you waking up early? Like, why? Like, I didn't understand. I was like, why? But now I realize why. Because when you don't wake up, when you wake up before your kid and you actually like, even though it's hard to get out of bed because you're tired, when you actually do get out of bed, your day is so much better because you woke up earlier. And I've been missing that.
You just need to break through that like initial tiredness where you think you need to. And I think too,
get up and go.
When it comes to making these like massive changes in your life, it's not like, you know, I sometimes when I hear people say like, oh, I had this like major epiphany. And it, like, for me, it was never like that. I find that's like, it's not about an epiphany. It's about like little micro shifts every single day. It's not
but
one
in your
huge,
mindset too.
It's like little ones for
mindset.
A few years and then boom, you're different.
But
and
we did like, changes. We did a podcast, Jackie and I, what was our last podcast? I think it was about the trip to Florida.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about early mornings and I was like, well, I don't wake up as early as you. I don't like the mornings. Like I listened to it recently and I feel like I sound kind of bitter in the way I'm talking about the morning. I was listening to it in the car the other day. Cause Jackie and I have somebody who helps us edit our podcast now. So we don't always listen to our podcasts in full until they're like live. So I was listening to it for the first time the other day since we recorded it. And I feel like I kind of sounded bitter about waking up. And it was interesting to me because this was like, I was listening to it on the way back from the retreat and I was like, I really feel differently now. Like I actually really,
I think you know, also like, too, if you know, read,
if you read the
5 a.m. club,
I read the 5 a.m. club. I loved it.
But it explains. Did you read the whole thing?
Yes.
It explains.
It was fabulous. Like,
physiologically,
yes.
Why?
But let me tell you something. Until you do it. Wait. Oh, sorry. That was a little loud. Sorry, guys.
No, what I'm telling you, there's a reason.
Until you apply it to your life in a way that's beneficial, meaning you're not waking up and you're not, oh, I wish I wasn't. Like, until you're like, I woke up on this retreat every day at 6 a.m. I was up every day. I'm going to be honest with you. My alarm was 6:30 and meditation was at 7. Okay. So I was up at 6:30 every day. Okay. And
until I was doing it, like waking up at 6:30 and going and doing a meditation and then a yoga and then an 8:30 breakfast and then going to bed that night at 9 o'clock, until I was in that routine for a few days, that's when I was really like, wait, like, this is amazing. Like this, and like when I came home and then in the, now I've been having a hard time sleeping in, and I wake up in the morning and I come downstairs and I'm like, I used to look at as waking up as like it was like prison, like it was like something negative.
Ooh, it's like exciting.
Now I understand that it's actually a
I get excited. And
like
wake up in the morning,
I'm blessed. Yes. To be able to like have a quiet morning by myself and do like and make a tea while Capri's still sleeping. I'm actually,
or even if you don't like these days, these days I've been getting up when Carter gets up. Like Carter, hi mom. He'll go, hi mom. It's sunset, even though it's sunrise. Yeah, because we explained to him how, because he has this clock in his room. Those of you that suggested
the glow clock
or whatever it's called. It's so great because it.
But I'm thinking GoPro, not the GoPro, but whatever.
No, it's like
called.
Clock or the glow clock. But it changes colors. So it starts at night, it's like blue, and then in the morning it turns like yellow. So it'll turn yellow and the sun will come out at the same time. Like we have it set around the same. So Carter will run into our room, mom, it's the sunset. It's the, even though he means it's time to get up, mom. And he'll open the window, look, the sun.
Yeah, knows. But that's also I feel like, fine, okay, good for you. Like I love to sleep in. Like I love to not be up early. But you're doing that, but you have an understanding of the magic of the mornings. And I'm telling you, for people on here who wake up and literally hate the morning, hate their lives, hate everything, I get it. I've been there. Like, I just want to sleep, whatever. But if you force yourself to get up,
well,
and I
magic,
feel like you,
I did a magic. There's something about the
morning.
I
feel like you, I hate myself right now. No offense. It's like, ugh. Like I remember you used to say this to me and I was like, ugh, you're so annoying. And now I'm like, guys, there's so much magic in the mornings. Like, ew, I want to vomit. But like, literally I sound like you. And the other day, somebody on Instagram, I was dying. It was the funniest thing. Somebody on Instagram the other morning, I write, I have been up again. I woke up at 6:30 this morning. Who am I? And somebody writes, Jackie. And I'm like, that's hilarious.
There's something, but also I think when it comes to the mornings too, it's like there's just something about like your morning defines how the rest of your day is going to go.
You
make a decision first thing in the morning and you decide how the day is going to go based on the little things that you do within the first couple hours of your morning. And for me, you don't understand. And that I get like, you know, when it comes to the morning routine, I get like frustrated sometimes because, by the way, I love how this conversation is going into morning routines. Like this is like, I get like this juicy for me.
Well, that's because when you think about it though, because the retreat that I went on was to like, just like get some time away,
reset.
Whatever, but it was also to like reset and get in like a
and
little
like
bit of
your circadian rhythm.
Oh, I've never felt better. I have to tell you.
Okay. So back to what I wanted to say about the morning routine, Leanna, let me just interject this. So I really want to say this. I think it's really important as moms because I get a lot of feedback on Instagram. People like, you can't have a morning routine if you're a mom, and how are you supposed to make that shift in the morning? And if you're dealing with a kid, 100%. But you know what? Sometimes my morning shift consists of making Carter breakfast and putting away the dishes and making my bed.
I have 5 minutes to make my bed.
Even making the dishes.
Putting the dishes away.
Well, putting the dishes to make the bed. What I learned at the retreat, okay, was that every single act you do in your life, whether it be eating, driving, showering, working is a bit different because like you have to be really focused. Like on work, I can't be like mindful when I'm like trying to bring in 5,000 units of something and my supplier's late on something. Like I can't, whatever. But in most opportunities in life, you can do them mindfully. So
correct. But that's what I'm saying.
You may not be able to get up and spend half an hour doing yoga and go to the gym and meditate for 45 minutes, but you can get up, even changing your child's diaper, you could do that mindfully.
Or you can do a 5-minute meditation as you make your bed. You can, you know what I'm saying?
Like, there's ways to take deep breaths and be mindful and speak to yourself kind and set yourself up, you know, even if you don't have the time.
No, and that's what I'm saying. I think as a mom, we all make these excuses like you can't have a morning routine. You can. Like we don't have any nannies. We do it ourselves. We get up in the morning. We're with our kids, making them breakfast. Someone's out the door. Got to go here. But I just give myself a couple little things in the morning, even if it's my skincare routine while listening to that meditation, then making my bed. Just even if it's 10 minutes, just something to shift for the day. And once like I finally get Carter off, you know what I mean? Like or he's in daycare, or whatever it is. You know, I give myself a little bit more time like before actually getting down to work. I try to take, even if it's the drive to the office, I meditate and I listen.
I totally get it. Calming music, just little things you can do.
And it's the way, you know, the more you hone your morning routine and the more aware you become of your mornings, the more aware you become of the way you speak to yourself,
the more aware you become of what's happening in your mind, and
see,
you
like,
can
the, you you're like, it's like so
all
yeah.
connected.
I'm impressed. No, but literally, I'm impressed. Like, there were things I learned on the over the weekend. Like, we did like workshops and stuff. Also, was included, and there were just certain things. I'm like, Jackie, like, literally lives this. Like, I like, even just what you said about how, like, talking to yourself, like, that's so important. Like, before,
well, you know,
we were
like,
talking, wait, but we were talking before. I want to say this before I thought about it. You were talking about, like, the hospital. You were saying something. You're like, ugh, and I felt so stupid or something. And even that moment, I'm like, don't talk to yourself like that. Like, you don't realize in that moment it is what it is. But it's like, even those things, like, I learned so much, like, how to, like, guys, like, I feel like I'm so nice to the people in my life. Like, I'm, like, the meanest, I think, to myself. And, like, you know what I mean? Like, I think that when you meditate, like what you're saying, and when you have a morning routine and you give that to yourself, you become more aware of how you treat yourself.
A
and
consistent you can, meditation practice will make you change the way you view yourself and become so aware of the way you're speaking to yourself and what limiting behaviors you have and what, you know, there's a lot of, there's two types of thoughts, okay? There's like the intrusive thoughts and then the intuitive thoughts. You need to know the difference between what is intuitive and what is intrusive and what is real and what is not.
Because that's another podcast topic. We should.
I know, because you know, and you know, we should like. We should probably.
We have to wrap it up though, because I'm heading out the door. I have to go to dinner, and I didn't realize this would go. I thought we were gonna do.
No, but I love this. I know, and I thought it was gonna be more about
the retreat.
Yeah, the retreat in the hospital stay. But I'm really glad we talked about the morning routines. I think it's really important as moms to try to cultivate, like we said, some kind of like mindful practice in the morning. I think it'll really change your life. So anyway, thank you guys for listening. It was great to talk about just sort of the last couple of weeks, give a little recap, talk about the morning routine. We hope you guys enjoyed this. We love you, and we'll catch up with you soon.